Everybody, Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network Series Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined today, as always, by Mike Sempervivi, Adam and Mike, Big Audio Nightmare, also up at WrestlingObserver.com, here to talk, mainly, the WWE Extreme Rules pay-per-view, which is kicking off in 2 hours. This is our annual WWE Extreme Rules kickoff show. I've got the WWE Network playing in the background right now. It is currently playing the 2013 Extreme Rules pay-per-view. Randy Orton is facing Big Show here on the program. And interestingly enough, this is the third straight year that Daniel Bryan and Kane have worked together at WWE Extreme Rules. Tonight they are going to be facing off in a battle as opponents, same thing they did 2 years ago. Last year they were teaming up on the show. We're going to talk about Daniel Bryan versus Kane for the WWE World Heavyweight title, plus all of the other matches on the show, including the Evolution versus Shield match, which may or may not signal the end of Big Dave Batista in WWE for the time being. This may be his last day before taking some time off, or he may end up staying around for another month. Funny how these things happen. And really, depending on what he decides to do, we will find out what WWE is likely to do as a finish for the match. I know a lot of people think it would be a terrible idea for Evolution to beat the Shield, but if Evolution and the Shield are coming back in some sort of match at next month's pay-per-view, or special event, as they're now calling it, well, maybe it wouldn't be the worst idea in the world to have Evolution squeak out a victory in this match to set up a big rematch, which actually is what I'm expecting them to do. But we're going to talk about all of the matches on the show, all of the news, take your phone calls, and more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sport Zone, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. It is our 2 hour WWE Extreme Rules pre-show. We got a lot of matches to talk about here today. Should be a lot of fun. And Mike, do you have the network on there in the background?
I do indeed. I see there's going to be a last man standing match between John Cena and Ryback.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, that's
apparently that's the way it is.
Yeah, this is last year's Extreme Rules. You know, the reason you should have it on the background, my friend, is that at approximately 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern, here on the network, it is going to be the WLC match in which El Torito will be facing Hornswoggle with apparently ladders, chairs. I don't even know what else will be involved. But trust me, inside the company at least, there are people who are looking at this as the most exciting match on the show. And I am in that camp as well. I am very excited for this battle.
Not only will there be tables, ladders, and chairs, those tables, ladders, and chairs will be we. Tables, ladders, and chairs, mini versions of these things, although it is my hope that the tables can be small, the chairs can be small, but I kind of want to see an oversized ladder come into play.
I was hoping everything would be gigantic, like all of the chairs would be oversized, the ladder would be the tallest ladder they've ever had, you know, these giant tables as big as the ring. That was my hope, but I don't think we're going to get that.
Well, you know what? If they do something like that, at least you have the confidence in knowing that El Torito can actually work it.
That's right. That's right. This match is a pre-show match, and they're going to build it up like it is the Battle of the Century. And guess what? We are going to call it here on the program. That's right. We'll be able to talk about all of the great spots. So if you want to follow along on the WWE Network with us here at Wrestling Observer Live, it should be a fun time. As always, we're going to be taking phone calls in the next segment, so be by the phone after the next commercial break. The number is 855-478-4478. All phone numbers are up at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also contact us at any point during the show on Twitter. We normally use the hashtag F4WLive, or you can just tweet to me at Brian Alvarez, and we will go over a bunch of those as well. But we have a preview of the entire show to go over. A lot of big matches. As noted on the network right now, Extreme Rules from last year is airing. And as I talked about at the beginning of the show, this is, in fact, the third year in a row that Daniel Bryan and Kane are working together at Extreme Rules. 2 years ago, they squared off in a match. Last year, they worked together as a tag team. And here we are a year later, back to having a feud again, this time with the WWE World Heavyweight title on the line. And of course, the question is, who walks out as the champion? Does Daniel Bryan actually lose the title? Not only lose the title a month after WrestleMania, but lose the title a month after WrestleMania to Kane. Mike, is there any chance whatsoever of this happening?
I'm going to go with no, because I don't think anyone's absolutely insane unless they have so little creatively planned out for Daniel Bryan where they want this thing to extend out to maybe three pay-per-views and or special events, as they call them now. But I don't think that's the case. I think they had to have a match. They have built up to it in probably one of the weaker ways you could possibly build up to a world title match in this feud. But with that said, Daniel Bryan should walk out of this thing, whether he's hurt or not, as the WWE champion.
I thought that he did a very good promo on SmackDown, very angry, screaming about how Kane had put his hands on his wife. And I guess the only issue I really have with the whole situation, I mean, it's great that Daniel Bryan is going to be able to go in. He's the champion. He can go beat Kane, get a decisive win, retain his title. I mean, that's what you want to do with your champion, is have him beat guys decisively. But at the same time, because he's having a match here on the pay-per-view with, of all people, Kane, I mean, I don't think this match is going to close out the show. Maybe it will, but I don't think it's going to close out the show. And I'm just not a fan of guys being pushed as champion, but they're not really the main event. I don't even know if this is going to go on after the John Cena-Bray Wyatt match. I expect that to go on after Daniel Bryan and Kane.
That would make a lot of sense, because then you'd have a good long delay running, you know, clips of Evolution against The Shield before that main event comes on. I don't know. I guess in place of that, you could have Paige and Tamina could break it up as well, too. But yeah, it's interesting to see whether, I mean, this thing could go on in, you know, relatively early in the card at like, you know, 9 o'clock Eastern time or so, which would be bad. That would be really, really bad. Perception wise, obviously, they don't have a whole lot for Daniel Bryan as far as the heel side goes. You could debate Cesaro, you know, as far as he could have been in place here. But I, to be honest, I think they did the right thing by having Kane there. I think both of them, especially Daniel Bryan, has done the best with what he has had to work with as far as having his wife out there and having the back and forth with Stephanie. And, you know, it hasn't been the greatest thing in the world. But then again, that's what you do when you're WWE champion. Sometimes you have these, you know, wacky, you know, heavily storyline driven stories. And I think they probably took the wrong one, considering Kane and Daniel Bryan have a past together and they could have played off of that more and left Brie Bella out of it. But they obviously wanted the soap opera effect. And I think they've done a really good job with it the best they can. I just don't think they've had a whole lot to work with. And, you know, if this match is not going to be treated as, you know, something bigger and important, I can understand it being number two. And I think a lot of people can accept that behind Evolution and The Shield, but I don't think people really should accept it being behind John Cena and Bray Wyatt. It would just make things look bad. So I hope they don't do that, because I think it's just, it's kind of a slap in the face, even though you can say Stephanie's there and obviously he's the world champion and all that sort of stuff. I think if it's put behind Cena and Wyatt, I just don't like the perception of that.
All right. I'm going through the odds here for all of these matches, and unfortunately I am not seeing them in traditional American odds form.
What do the Euro odds say?
It's got Daniel Bryan is 1-12. 1-12. Kane is 11-2. I don't like it that way. I want plus and minus, and I can't figure out where to do it here. So instead, I'm going to go back to yesterday's daily update at WrestlingObserver.com, which had them the way I want them. Yesterday, this may have changed, but as of yesterday, Daniel Bryan -1200 and Kane +550. Now, there have been of late, including at WrestleMania, there were some major, some people won and lost a lot of money at a WrestleMania based on the odds and what actually happened on the show, particularly in the Undertaker match, and I believe also the Bray Wyatt John Cena match, and perhaps some others as well. But I don't expect this to be like a big surprise finish where somehow Kane ends up winning the title. I suppose it's possible, but I would not count on that. I would put my money on Daniel Bryan. Here we go.
I wonder if Kentucky Derby betting has anything to, I wonder if it brings down the amount of WWE betting that takes place the next day.
I don't know. But I found my, I found my my U.S. style odds. So I apologize to all of the Euros. It is, in fact, exactly the same. Daniel Bryan -1200 and Kane is +550. So there you go. There was a day where whatever the odds maker said, those were the finishes. Those days are gone. For the most part, these finishes are likely going to be exactly as the odds makers are expecting. And really, I don't think anything in looking at the odds that would surprise anybody. Most of the favorites, the odds makers considering the favorites are also the favorites that most fans are considering a favorite. So it doesn't look like any big surprises on this show, but as noted at WrestleMania, things can change at the very last minute. So we shall see. Also on the show, it is The Shield versus Evolution. Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose against Triple H, Randy Orton, and Batista. And as I talked about at the beginning of the program, what they do here is largely going to depend on whether or not Batista is leaving immediately after the show or if he's going to stay one more month. And right now, we don't know. And we may not know until we get a finish here, in fact. But we're going to talk about this when we come back from the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline and Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone. Try Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, or we stream live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. It is our Wrestling Observer Live WWE Extreme Rules pre-show here, and we are talking all of the matches on the show. If you'd like to give us a call this afternoon, phone lines are now officially open. The number, toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. You're welcome to give us a call and let us know what is on your mind when it comes to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. All right, we are talking the lineup for the show here today. And quick correction, by the way, 2012 Extreme Rules, it was not Daniel Bryan versus Kane. It was Randy Orton versus Kane, and Daniel Bryan faced Sheamus, which was, in fact, interestingly enough, scheduled to be Daniel Bryan's WrestleMania match this year originally. Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. But that did not end up happening. They ended up doing what they did with the four-way and everything like that. So, yeah, that was the match for 2 years ago. So Daniel Bryan and Kane have only been facing off for the last 2 years in a row. So there you go. The Daniel Bryan-Kane match, one last comment before we move on here to the Shield match. It is possible that this match does in fact go on last. A lot of this will depend on finishes. To me, the biggest match on the show is the Shield versus Evolution. But if Dave Bautista ends up leaving the company after this show, most likely the Shield is going to win. And if the Shield wins, I see no reason that this would not be the main event of the show. If Dave Bautista is sticking around and the Shield ends up losing as a result to set up a rematch next month, then maybe Daniel Bryan and Kane will go on last to give a babyface a win as the show goes off the air. It depends on if they want to put that on last or if they want to put the cage match last and worry about taking it up and putting it down and that sort of thing. So we'll get Mike's thoughts on that in just a moment. But first off to the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is John from Amherst, Massachusetts.
John, what's going on?
Hey, just wondering your thoughts on, I can't believe this is still news, but I read an article stating that the higher-ups in WWE are still debating whether or not the Daniel Bryan movement is basically because he's over because of the yes chants, or because he's actually over, and that apparently that the higher ups are apparently they're waiting to see if basically Daniel Bryan's still got to prove himself essentially. And I don't know if I find that hard to believe, considering all of the outpouring over Daniel Bryan as opposed to this yes thing. And I wonder your thoughts on that.
All right, Mike, what do you think of this situation? I mean, is the company expecting Daniel Bryan to prove himself here, or do you think that he has already proved himself?
I think if I'm WWE and I'm sitting up there, he's proven himself in a lot of ways. Now let's see if he can prove himself holding the WWE title. I can see that, and I don't think anybody's going to be holding his feet to the fire too much on this Kane thing, because it's, again, this thing is intertwined with Stephanie and all that stuff. So there's still going to be stuff to come in this. But, yeah, can I see them taking a critical eye on it and having, you know, any number of guys there, from Randy Orton to John Cena to Roman Reigns to no matter who it is, you know, who are more their type of guys? Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they will have a relatively quick trigger finger, but not as quick as they would for like a Rey Mysterio or somebody like that. I think, you know, this is going to play out here for a little while, no matter who he faces. And I think, yeah, they do, I'm sure, have a critical eye on them. I'm sure that there are people there that look at, you know, any number of guys and say, you know, we would rather have him in the mix, but let's see if everybody, again, if he holds up to his end of the deal, which I think he will, and the crowd stays behind him, I think it's going to be hard for them to not go through the summer with this guy as WWE champion, and I think they will.
At the end of the day, the only one that matters is Vince McMahon. And anybody in WWE can talk all they want about whether Daniel Bryan has proved himself or not, but they put the title on him at WrestleMania, and they're giving him this program with Kane. I know that some people, listen, I don't like the idea that he's facing Kane, of all people, here in this Extreme Rules show, but I mean, whatever you want to say about the build to this match, Daniel Bryan was gone for a week on his honeymoon. Daniel Bryan was gone for a week because his father passed away. I mean, Daniel Bryan has been in and out, and they've done the best they can with what they've had of him. I don't think he's losing the title here tonight. I mean, if they really had no faith in Daniel Bryan, I mean, Batista, he could have faced Batista on the show, and Batista could beat him for the title, or whatever their idea was. I mean, originally, Batista was going to win the title at WrestleMania. So, obviously, you know, there's some changes going on based on what Batista does, but I don't think that there's this, oh my God, Daniel Bryan's got to prove himself, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's a, let's see how it goes for now. I see it somewhat like what happened with Rey Mysterio, although not to that degree. I think it's sort of like, you guys know, Daniel Bryan is not going to be champion forever, but we're going to give it to him for a little while, we'll let him have a run, and then when the time's right, we'll put it on somebody else. But hey, if Daniel Bryan gets over huge, if his TV numbers do great, if his I guess, you know, we can't really look at pay-per-view numbers anymore, but we can look at house show business, we can look at merchandise. If all of those indicators go up with Daniel Bryan as champion, they'll keep the belt on him. So about 3 months ago, I went on this big tirade, a big rant when Daniel Bryan was not in the Royal Rumble and everybody was crying about it. And I said, listen, if you are very upset about this, then you need to go hijack shows. And I'm not taking credit for the shows being hijacked. All I said was, if you're upset about Daniel Bryan or anybody in WWE, then you got to speak with your wallet. You got to speak at these shows. You got to let your voice be heard. You got to book with your pocketbook, so to speak. And if you do that, they will give you what you want. So it's the same thing now with Daniel Bryan as champion. If he comes to your town, go to the show. If he's got a shirt that's not horrendous, buy it. If you go to a show and he's there, go crazy for him. That's how you keep Daniel Bryan on top. Otherwise, I'm sure the belt will be on, I don't know who, Randy Orton, Dave Bautista.
If you see Brie Bella on Total Divas, watch it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. All right, to the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Dave from Wisconsin.
What's up, Dave?
Two questions and one quick comment. My comment is that, is it bad that, I guess it's more quick, but I think the most excited I am for tonight's Extreme Rules is for the Wii LC match.
Nothing wrong with that.
And, yeah, I know, it's just kind of a novelty, but my questions are, now that Okada dropped the belt to AJ Styles, what is he doing for ROH and what's next for Kento?
Mike?
What he's doing for ROH is now facing off against Michael Elgin at War of the Worlds, which he was doing anyway. Now just the title will be on the line. And Okada Cedric Alexander is going to be the match that he has on that show. I think the next big thing with the New Japan title actually comes up at Yokohama on May 25th, and we'll see if this was just a quick fire thing to put the title on an ROH guy as New Japan comes to America, because the winner of Styles and Elgin faces off against Okada. And I know a lot of people are not happy about the result of that match. I think people are overreacting a little bit too much. And it's just, we'll just have to see what happens. Can I see Elgin beating Styles? Yeah, I actually could see that. And then you'd have Elgin against Okada and Yokohama, which I think would be a big deal. But could Styles drop the title back that night? That could be a possibility, too. So I think we just have to wait and see on this. Again, I know a lot of people aren't happy with the fact that Styles goes in off his first appearance and with a bunch of outside interference defeats Okada. But I think when it comes to New Japan and its booking, let's just wait and see a little bit on what happens here.
Actually, for both of you, I have got the full card as announced by New Japan. So I will go over these matches. Mike, jump in anytime you want. And Dave, if you have any comments, you can do so as well. ROH title is Adam Cole, Kevin Steen, versus Jushin Liger, three-way. The winner of Adam Cole and Kevin Steen against Jushin Liger. So probably Adam Cole against Jushin Liger will be the ROH world title match. Heavyweight title, AJ Styles and Michael Elgin. That's for the IWGP belt. Tag titles, Young Bucks versus Red Dragon. The IWGP World Tag Team titles, it's Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows against the Briscoes.
Which might be the best match on there.
We've got the World TV title, Jay Lethal against Kushida. The loser of Cole versus Steen, who's probably going to be Kevin Steen, will face Shinsuke Nakamura. Michael Bennett faces Hiroshi Tanahashi. They have announced Kazuchika Okada's opponent. It is Cedric Alexander. BJ Whitmer and Roderick Strong against Jado and Ghetto. And that is the full card thus far. So there you go. Any thoughts, Mike?
It's a good card compared to, much stronger, I think, on paper than the May 10th card in Toronto. With the Ring of Honor guys. And I think that Ring of Honor show, too. I think some people are looking at the Border City show with New Japan the day before that and thinking there are some better matches on it because you have Saban and Okada. But I think Anderson and Gallows against the Briscoes is really going to be the thing that steals the night.
All right, we got to head to a break. Thanks so much for the call, Dave. We will be back in just a moment with more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Big shout out to everybody listening on the American Forces Network, the cable radio network as well. We also replay tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. If you missed any of the show, make sure you check that out. And, of course, for all the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, head to WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates. Not only that, radio shows. If you only get to hear the show once per week, you are missing out. Radio shows every single day. This is the first of three radio shows that I am doing tonight. After Extreme Rules, immediately following Extreme Rules, it is going to be our post-show. Myself and Vinny and Craig running down all of the matches on the show. And, of course, later on in the evening as well, myself and Dave Meltzer with our post-show report. Also talking all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. All of this can be checked out at WrestlingObserver.com. If you miss any of the live shows, as a subscriber, you have immediate full download access to every single show that we do and that we have ever done. Over 5,000 radio shows dating back to 2005 available in the archives. Get up every morning. You can have new shows podcasted to your listening device. Listen to it on the way to and from work, while you're at work, while you're working out, wherever you like to listen to your audio. You will never run out with WrestlingObserver.com. Live shows, immediate on-demand replay shows, and a full on-demand library dating back to 2005, all for only $10.99 a month. Check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. You will not regret it. Now's a great time to do so with the WWE Network. It's a great compliment. We review all sorts of shows on the network, talk about all the different specials. It's a lot of fun. So it is your audio fix for your video fix, which is the WWE Network, WrestlingObserver.com. Check it out. Mike, we are running down the card here. If you'd like to contact us, of course, Twitter at Brian Alvarez. Let me know what you're thinking. And you can call in as well, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. And Mike, as we run down this card, what are your thoughts on the Evolution versus Shield six-man tag?
I think, very simply, if Batista is the one going away, I think the Shield gets the win. I think Evolution can shame him on the way out tomorrow or however it's going to work. I don't think they beat him up or jump him or anything like that. Although they could. They could, and this could lead to Batista coming back later on down the line, perhaps something into SummerSlam with Triple H or Randy Orton. I think that could be possible, but if Batista is leaving, I think the Shield wins. Now, that also doesn't necessarily mean that this feud has to end either. Triple H and Randy Orton could recruit somebody else to be in the mix, or Randy Orton can just recruit two guys to be in the mix, and Triple H rotates back out again and maybe gets involved with Daniel Bryan. I don't know. There's a lot of variables in this, and I think a lot of them that have to go around Batista. I don't think the Shield, if they end up losing this match to Evolution, which is incredibly possible as well, either Batista stays or not. Again, if the Shield loses, I don't think it's going to be in an embarrassing way or anything like that, and it's going to be in a way that's going to continue this feud forward.
The odds makers have placed, and this is interesting because it's close, Evolution is currently minus 250 to the Shield's plus 175. This is at Sky Bet. Some others here, minus 175 for Evolution, plus 137 for the Shield. That's very close.
I wonder if there's the last time or if it's ever happened where you'd really have had even money going into a pay-per-view night.
Even money?
Yeah, where it gets bet down so much that it ends up being a 50-50, one-to-one type of deal for both teams.
I don't remember any even money in all the time I have been checking this out. If anybody remembers any WWE odds where even money was put on any of the battles, let me know, either on Twitter or by giving us a call. But I don't remember that. Honest to God, this may be as close as I can remember the odds for any match. Largely because I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but if it doesn't matter in the sense that if this feud is going to continue, it doesn't really matter who wins the first match. Although to me, it should be Evolution. The Shield should be coming back for revenge. Otherwise, you get a situation like we're about to talk about, John Cena and Bray Wyatt, where they're having this cage match. And they're talking about all of the terrible things that will happen if Bray Wyatt wins. And meanwhile, I saw John Cena beat Bray Wyatt clean as a sheet at WrestleMania. John Cena, I don't know. I mean, is it really the end of the world as they claim if Bray Wyatt wins? I mean, I haven't been a big fan of the build for this match. I was interested in WrestleMania, not really interested really in this one. What are your thoughts on this cage match between John Cena and Bray Wyatt?
I just want it to go away. I want all of it to just go away. And it won't. Bray Wyatt, win or lose, and I think he probably wins. You know, the only way I think this feud, this whole thing ends is if Cena wins tonight. And I got to be honest, as much as it would stink in a lot of ways, it really stunk at WrestleMania that he won. Now, I understand that if that was changed with The Undertaker. But remember, John Cena didn't
the whole thing with Wade Barrett and Nexus, where they had a chance to get Wade Barrett, you know, kind of over as the guy, and Cena fought back through him. And, you know, we're watching the replay of last year's Extreme Rules where, you know, Cena couldn't lose to Ryback. They had to have him crushed through a wall. And I think it's been so much of this with John Cena that, I, you know, Bray Wyatt is an HBO level character on a PG rated show, and that's okay. But when it's, when you have any interaction at all with John Cena, it's going to be cartooned up. And I'm, again, I'm not even blaming WWE for that, but I just want to see Cena.
Well,
and
whose
Wyatt
fault
go
is
away.
It?
Whose fault is it?
It's WWE's.
It's WWE's, and it's also John Cena's. And if I'm John Cena, I guess in a way, if you look at it, you go, well, why would I change anything around? I don't care how pissed people are that things are working this well for me. So I don't blame him, but we make fun of this with TNA and with Impact when we read the our lead-ins to the pay-per-views as we did last week. And, I mean, in this case, it really fits that, you know, Extreme Rules will feature professional wrestling matches involving different wrestlers from pre-existing scripted feuds, plots, and storylines that play out on the programs, where wrestlers portray heroes or villains, and they follow a series of events that have been building tension. And that's been the case. I mean, look how cartoonish the opening of this past Monday's Raw was. And again, I don't fault them. That's what WWE does. But there's still that old side of me that just, this whole thing, especially because Cena won at WrestleMania, I guess there are people that like it. It's kind of just been done for me. And after this past Monday, I just want to see this thing be put to bed. And unfortunately, I don't think it will be.
I think it's pretty clear that John Cena was supposed to lose to Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania. I mean, the odds makers for weeks had him as the underdog, this being John Cena. And when you look at the post-WrestleMania storyline, I mean, John Cena is talking about his feud with Bray Wyatt as if he actually lost the first match, which he didn't. He's talking about, you know, this time I'm going to get you in a cage where the Wyatt clan cannot run in. And I'm like, dude, you beat him. And they didn't run in. What are you talking about here?
Exactly.
So I'm pretty sure that this cage match was supposed to be John Cena's revenge. But because of what happened with The Undertaker, I presume, John Cena ended up beating Bray Wyatt. Now I presume Bray Wyatt gets his win. And I mean, they're not even, if you watch the television, they're not even pretending someone's going to pin or submit the other person. All they talk about is escaping the cage. I mean, it's very clear. Bray and John Cena are probably going to both climb over at the same time. The Wyatt clan prevents Cena from touching the ground. Bray Wyatt hits first. He's announced the winner. I don't even know what this does for either man. It ain't that big a win for Bray Wyatt to win that way. It doesn't mean a thing for John Cena to lose that way. Hey, maybe they'll surprise me and Bray Wyatt will beat him clean in the sheet in the middle of the ring. I don't think that's going to happen. But I don't know. I guess we'll see how they do it. I'm not nearly as excited for this as I was last time, but I guess we shall see. The odds makers, what do they think of this particular battle? Well, Bray Wyatt at this exact moment is a heavy favorite. He is minus 500 to John Cena's plus 300. And I guess the closest odds that I have found here are minus 400 to plus 275. So pretty much everybody expecting that Bray Wyatt is going to win, and as noted, probably just going to climb over and touch the ground. So there you go.
Now, what are the odds, although this will never happen, but, you know, how nice would it be, and this is going to sound terrible, but how nice would it be if after the match, Cena is tied up and they just, obviously they cannot do an ECW style, you know, tie him with his arms against the cage and then beat him over the head with a chair, but whatever you can get away with in 2014, you do something like that and John Cena disappears for a while. You know how good that would be for everyone involved, including John Cena, and that won't happen, and that's too bad.
Yeah, I don't think
nothing against John Cena, but you know what's amazing? John Cena could be wrestling Damian Sandow on Main Event, and they could conquer their goals with that. It's not like he's going to sell any less merchandise. It's not like people are going to forget who he is. You can still, if you're a child or if you have the WWE Network, you can see him, and everyone will be happy, and everybody would actually be better off for it. And I've been a big John Cena proponent, but it has gotten to the point that if he's not wrestling somebody, you know, fourth or fifth down on the card right now, until you can get him built back up where people are not booing him out of the building and at least get something more out of him. This is just getting very frustrating with Cena. And again, this whole thing with Wyatt has shown it.
Hey, at least Mike, he may be three down on the card instead of the main event. It could be much worse. I don't mind.
And it could be, and it's okay for everyone involved if he is.
I don't mind John Cena as an upper mid-carder. I think that's great. That's why I've been arguing, don't turn John Cena heel. If we turn John Cena heel, John Cena is going to have a heel run against all of the same guys he has been wrestling for 1,000 years. It'll be John Cena the heel against Randy Orton. It'll be John Cena.
Genuine.
John Cena the heel against a babyface Big Show. John Cena the heel against Sheamus. I don't need to see all of these matches. I'm ready for John Cena to step out of the main event to become Bob Backlund, so to speak. So let's just like hurry that along by not doing a big switch and turning him heel.
No, I agree. Absolutely. Don't do that, but at least push him down further because, again, he doesn't have to be in the mix to be effective right now. Have him and Del Rio, something like that.
We've got the Paige Tamina Snuka match, the WWE Divas Championship. I don't think anybody in the world is expecting Tamina to get the win here, Mike, unless that person happens to be you.
No, it's not going to be me. And I'll say this, too. I look up and down this card, and I wonder, I know there's going to be time for the cage and things like that, but this is like a five-minute match. I got Cena and Wyatt pegged at about 20.
I'll bet you anything they give these girls 8.
Well, I mean, that would be, you know, even if they did that, you're still leaving like a lot of time if you think about it. And I wonder if they're going to be adding anything else to this show as it goes along.
I'm wondering if they're going to add a stipulation for the Big E match where you can only win via 5 count.
He did that in NXT, right?
That was his NXT gimmick.
He's got 5. That's what theme song says, too.
He's got 5. So that is the Divas title match. Also on the
Paige
show.
Wins.
What was that?
Paige wins. I don't think I did a prediction.
Yes, Paige wins. Bad News Bear, Big E Langston for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. Does it behoove Wade Barrett to win this belt, Mike? Because I'm not convinced.
No,
actually,
it doesn't.
Actually, hold that thought. We'll talk about this when we come back from the break. We're up against the... up against the break. Back in just a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. And Mike, before the break, I was asking you about Wade Barrett. Does it behoove him to win this title, or is this title an anchor that he should stay as far away from as possible?
The title is an anchor that he should be as far away from as possible, unless Wade Barrett wins the belt, the John Cena Bray Wyatt feuds ends, and you get John Cena against Wade Barrett with the belt, and Barrett actually wins to push him into the upper echelon of heels, which they desperately need. I know I'm fantasy booking, and I know none of this will happen, and the IC title has been a big waste of time for everyone involved. So unless they're going to spark one of the two guys, you know, neither one of them needs to hold it, but you've gone through all this stuff with Wade Barrett, and I guess hope can spring eternal. And maybe Wade Barrett wins the belt and goes on a run as Intercontinental Champion and brings something to it.
He's done such a terrible job with Big E Langston of late. I mean, these 5 count, you know, referee finishes.
Losing to Del Rio, didn't he?
Del Rio didn't break on 5. Titus O'Neil didn't break on 5. I don't know how this builds up Big E for this match with Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett at least won a tournament to get his championship match. I don't know. I'm not enamored with this. The odds makers are giving this to Wade. He's -500 or -600. Big E +333. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if there's any match on this show where the odds makers end up being wrong, I would expect it to be this match. I can see them doing something wacky like Big E gets the win. They do a rematch on Raw, and on the Raw rematch, Wade Barrett ends up winning the title. I can see him doing something like that. I don't know, but I just wish that when you're setting up a match like this, you do a better job making the champion look like someone meaningful as opposed to what they have done, which is make the champion look like a complete geek. But we're going to head to a break, everybody. When we come back, we will talk more about WWE Extreme Rules. We'll take your phone calls and more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide, as Ric Flair would say, on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We got a lot of stuff to get into here today. It is Extreme Rules Sunday. Boy, do we got a lot of stuff to talk about here on this program today. We're running down all of the matches on the show. We are taking your phone calls as well, although don't call now. We got a short segment. When we come back from the break, we'll take your phone calls, and I may be opening up my Skype line as well. It's been a while since we had the Skype line open, but we have had some requests to use it. So we will try my Skype line. If it doesn't work out, we will try the Sports Byline Skype line. And we'll give some of you that are listening internationally a chance to contact the program via Skype. So you are welcome to do so. The handle will be F4W Online. Do not Skype now. Skype after the break, and we will take your phone calls. What are your thoughts on WWE Extreme Rules, the booking for the show, everything that is going on? Now is your chance to give us a call. We are still running down the show for tonight. We've talked about most of the major matches. We're going to talk about more after the break. Do not forget, by the way, that coming up at the bottom of the hour, 4:30, you can watch it in the background as you're listening to this show. It will be the WLC match, El Torito versus Hornswoggle. And yes, WLC match has already been given its own, actually it links, I believe, to TLC at Wikipedia. But somebody has gone in there and made sure that that links up, so you can check that out. When we come back from the break, there's not a lot to talk about, but we are going to talk about R-Truth and Xavier Woods against Alexander Rusev in a handicap match. That talk should last about 5 seconds. And then we will talk about the triple threat match, which is Rob Van Dam, Jack Swagger, and Antonio Cesaro. Three guys facing off in an elimination battle. We'll talk about that as well. All of that coming up after the break. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next 2 hours, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, leading into WWE Extreme Rules, taking your phone calls and Skype calls. 855-478-4478 is the phone number. Skype handle is F4W Online. And we have Adam in Fort Lauderdale, who's calling in on the Sports Byline number. Adam, what is going on?
How are you?
Not too bad. What's up?
Not much. I don't even think I'm going to watch the pay-per-view tonight, man. The storylines are boring. We know what's going to happen, and I think I'm going to skip it and just see what happens on Raw tomorrow night. Save the money.
So you're not a WWE Network subscriber?
I am not. No, unfortunately, I'm not, because I don't want to get addicted to that and sit at home for 20 hours a day watching wrestling and all that other stuff. So I figured it'd be easier just to do it this way, but I'm a little bored with the WWE, so I'm going to skip it for tonight and just watch Raw tomorrow and see what's going to happen, because I know what's going to happen for tonight. Kane's not going to win. It's almost impossible. You know, Bray Wyatt's going to win. I mean, it's almost predictable, so why, you know, even go through it, to be honest with you?
All right, well, I want to thank you very much for the call. He doesn't even have the WWE Network. $9.99 a month, decided not to get it, so there you go. All right, to the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian, this is John from Memphis, Tennessee, the self-proclaimed Vince of our high mark.
John, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? I got a question. It's not about the pay-per-view, but it is about WWE. I want your opinion. I've been wanting to know, is WWE starting to become more dark in the last year, or is it just doing something different, like changing, going away from the PG area and going into a more adult oriented wrestling field? I want your opinion on that.
Is it becoming more dark?
Yeah, more dark. And like with the Bray Wyatt, with Kane doing more power drives and like all that stuff for the last 6 months.
What do you think, Mike? Sempervivi, are you there? I may have lost Mike Sempervivi. I don't think it's getting more dark. I think the Bray Wyatt character, I guess, is a little bit darker, and I guess the storyline they did with John Cena leading into WrestleMania was a little bit darker, but I don't think so. I mean, are there specific storylines that you just feel are... I mean, we're not going back to the Attitude Era, if that's what you're asking.
Well, I understand that. What I mean by this, Brian, is this. All right. Last week, this was the first. I've been noticing this, that last week they have been using more and more profane, when I mean more profane words and stuff like that than they have in the last six to seven years. They haven't been using that much profane languages in the last 6 or 7 years. But this last week was the first time that you saw a lot of profanity used in the pay-per-view. I'm not judging that, but I'm saying it's becoming more and more adult-oriented that I've been paying attention towards that is becoming a mixture between PG era and a little bit, I'm not saying attitude era, but you know what I'm saying, it's becoming more and more mature. Like, I'm not saying, but you understand what I'm saying, Brian?
I do understand what you're saying, but I mean, maybe they're going a little bit more in that direction, but I think in general it's just they've got a guy that's getting over pretty big. He happens to be a dark character, and I don't think it's like an overall, like, this is the direction that WWE is going. I just think that they got a guy right now that happens to be exactly as you're describing. I know what you mean in terms of you know, last week, Brie Bella used a very naughty word to describe Stephanie McMahon, but I don't necessarily think that this is the beginning of a darker era for WWE or going back to a more edgy product. I think it just, I don't know. Mike, what do you think? Are we heading back towards the Attitude Era, or is it just kind of a coincidence, some of what we've seen of late?
I think it's, well, if you're gonna have dark characters in a PG world, you're going to get what you've been getting with Bray Wyatt and John Cena. And, you know, whether you're okay or not with that, it's going to remain PG, and that's okay. And it's okay if the storylines get edgier. I think that's been the biggest problem with people talking about PG has been the fact that PG doesn't have to mean boring. PG doesn't have to mean overly cartoony. PG doesn't have to mean corny or stupid. It just doesn't. You can still be, you know, edgy and have, you know, driven, focused things on, you know, sometimes not so nice issues. You know, you just can't have the gratuitous violence or blood or boobs or anything that would go along with the Attitude Era. It's not going to happen with the toy contracts and everything else. And again, that's okay, because just look at the standards of the 70s and things like that, or even of the 80s in a lot of ways. You know, that was all PG, but it was exciting because they gave you something to believe in, or a story or an athlete or whatever it is. And that's a timeless thing. So they're still able to do it.
All right, let's go back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? You are on the air going once. No, you're not. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Tyler calling from Chicago.
What's up, Tyler?
I have a question. There are some NXT releases this week. Oliver Gray, Danny Burch, and Mason Ryan. I was wondering, with the rumors of Kenta and Devitt coming in, could there be like a quota of how many international talents that could have under contract at one time?
A quota? I don't think there'd be a quota. You could have as many international talents as you want. I think the issue with international talents is there's a lot of visa issues and stuff that you have to get.
Right, that's what I was saying. Like, if they could only have like so many visas, or they didn't want to pay out these visas for these guys that were not really doing anything, and they wanted to get some more premier talent.
I think it was just a bunch of guys they just didn't have anything for. And I mean, Mason Ryan's been down there forever, for example. You know, I don't think it matters, you know, if he were born in Augusta, Georgia. It was just that he was a guy, he'd been there forever. They just don't seem to have anything for him to do. So I think the bigger issue is, I think it's more a coincidence that these were international talents. I don't think there's a quota. I mean, maybe there is, but I don't see any reason that there would be.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks so much for the call. Mike, anything to add on that?
No, I think there's no way there's a quota, because they had all those guys down there. They had Cesaro down there. They had Sami Zayn down there, who's from Canada. They had Adrian Neville there. William Regal's there. Yoshitatsu's there. I don't think that was the issue at all. I think it just was, you have these guys coming in. And, you know, Devitt probably may cost a little bit more than some of the other guys. So why not use this time to go ahead and flush some of the weight out of there and go with what you have, as well as some new guys coming in.
I got a scoop for everybody, by the way. I have been sent a photograph of the announce table for the WLC match, and it is a miniature announce table.
It's awesome.
Not
I
kidding.
Have the same picture. Great.
All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian. This is it's Karen from the United Kingdom.
Karen, what's up?
Hey. This is partly a counterpoint to the last caller. Personally, I actually like the Bad News Barrett gimmick, to be honest.
I like the gimmick. I don't have a problem with the gimmick. I don't know if it's I don't know if it's a dark gimmick, but I mean, his real story is darker than the gimmick.
Well, no, I just think it's a bit of fun. Like it's popular. It's actually really popular with all the people I know in this country as well. Well, Barrett is just popular over here. Full stop. So hopefully there's going to be like a lot of reaction to it when.
Well, I think
when
people
here
look at him as a, if nothing else, he's a good prick. You know, he's a believable guy who can beat you up, and everybody who's a fan of WWE, even a casual one, would know that this guy is more than what they have offered him up to be so far since post Nexus, and he was another one of the IC title jinx guys and all that. So I think everybody alike would like to see more out of Wade Barrett, and I think that's going to continue to grow.
Hopefully he wins the IC tonight. That'd be pretty cool.
Well,
and rehabs it.
Yeah, I want to thank you very much for the call. We got to head to a break, everybody. When we come back, more Skype calls, more phone calls, more previews, more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. The Extreme Rules pre-show is about to begin. Meanwhile, the phones are ringing off the hook, so let's go to them. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian Alvarez. This is Dan Hernandez from Dallas. How are you two?
What's going on?
Yeah, I want to say tonight's the first night where the WWE Network shows its value, because this is basically a free pay-per-view for us viewers, because when we signed up initially for the network, the six-month payment we did, we're basically covering WrestleMania, you know?
Yeah.
So this is where that we should be pushing, like, now that I've already seen WrestleMania, the value of this network is improving. It gets better. Now I get to watch Extreme Rules, Payback. But later on this year, I think they have a pay-per-view called Bash at the Beach, I think. But this is where it shows its value, because this is the first time I'll see Extreme Rules in a couple of years, you know, without, you know, going to the top corner and clicking all these ads or other means that's not paying my cable provider. So tonight's the first time where it shows its true value. But I do have a question, because you, Brian, I know you're the big Total Divas viewer. And tonight, if you read the synopsis on the show, this is where Summer Rae and Fandango, they finally go to home base. So I want to know your thoughts on that, and then thoughts on network, the values of the network finally being fulfilled. All right. Take care.
All right, thanks so much for the call. Well, yeah, it is. Tonight is the night that Summer Rae and Fandango apparently, you know, they what do you say? Go to fourth base? Was that way explained it, Mike?
They dance the most sensual of dances.
Sure.
They're going to do the lumbata.
Yeah, you do the horizontal lumbata tonight on the show. Yeah, I don't know. I'll watch it tonight. I don't know when we're going to be able to do the review, since we're doing the post show before Total Divas air. It's a prize. They're going head to head with their own show. But yeah, you know, this is within WWE, tonight is considered the first night of the new era. They're not really counting WrestleMania, because I think they figured for WrestleMania, a lot of people were going to buy still on traditional pay-per-view just to be safe, which a lot of them did. But with the pay-per-view going off without a hitch, I mean, tonight is the night that they feel that, especially with DirecTV not carrying it, Dish Network, AT&T U-verse, which I don't think anyone actually gets, but if you do, they're not carrying it. I mean, this is really the first show of this new era. So it'll be interesting. I mean, no one's even talking about what if the stream crashes. So God forbid it does. I don't think it will. But hey, anything is possible. Maybe all those people that had the network but bought WrestleMania anyway for WrestleMania are going to try and watch it on the network tonight and we'll have a problem. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm watching the network right now. Seems to be working just fine, but it is a big night, Mike.
And I tell you what, it'll be the first time that a lot of people watch all 12 WWE pay-per-views. I mean, it really will be. And there's probably a lot of hardcore fans out there that, hey, look, if you paid for 8 out of the 12 or 9 out of the 12, you know, you were in the minority. So this is going to be interesting. It's the first time for, again, I bet you an overwhelming majority of people that they're going to watch all 12 pay-per-views in a year. Because I think if you've signed up to the network now, I know some people will probably let it lapse, but I think for the most part, you're going to be, you know, in this for as long as it's going on. And again, what else are you going to watch tonight? And it could be something you have on the background, you know, whatever. But I bet you it's going to be, you know, again, this is going to be the first time ever that a majority of people watch an entire year of WWE programming.
All right, back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Sammy from New Jersey. I'm calling from inside IZOD.
Really? What's going on in there?
Lana Luchas, that's for sure. And definitely seems like a Daniel Bryan bro crowd so far. A lot of guesses, and every time the lights change, the people go crazy. Jillian's getting in the ring, so I guess the VIC is about to start. And it looks like it's going to be close to packed house. Sorry about the noise.
Sounds like complete insanity. So the VLC match is about to begin?
That's what it looks like. Lillian's in the ring, and there are a lot of, you know, mixed agents here. A lot of Daniel Bryan shirts, a lot of Cena t-shirts. But I definitely see Daniel Bryan get a huge reaction tonight, and it's unusual for Meadowlands because this arena tends to be quieter for wrestling. But I have a feeling so far from what I'm hearing, it's going to be a good crowd.
All right. Well,
definitely right now.
I can hear the insanity right now. All right. I want to thank you very much for the call. Let you get back to the show. Enjoy it here tonight. Yes, here we are. The kickoff show is live. It's looking great on my television. No problems so far. Sammy's having a great time. So there you go. Live report from the building. All right. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Chris in Las Vegas.
What's up, Chris?
Well, for one, I heard a caller earlier, and I would like to agree with him. I think we are heading to a darker WWE style, more close to PG-13 than the PG era. But that's not why I was calling. I was calling because I feel like Daniel Bryan is turning into Chris Benoit as far as his push already. He's already feuding with Kane. And before I went to a house show here in Vegas, right before WrestleMania, and they had Kane trying to sneak up on Bryan and whatnot. And next thing you know, they were putting them segments where they were trying to hug it out before fighting. And I was hoping we don't get to that brand of comedy between the two, even though he's trying to kill him.
Mike, comparisons between Daniel Bryan and Chris Benoit's run. What do you think?
Again, I think Kane and Daniel Bryan is... What else were they supposed to do? I don't think we should judge Daniel Bryan's reign off of this feud right now. Now, 3, 4, 5 months from now, if we want to look back on it, sure. I think this is a best of the bad lot because the two guys he faced at WrestleMania are not in the equation. You still have the ability for Randy Orton to come back and say, I didn't get beat. If Batista doesn't leave, he's got the ability to come back and say, hey, you know what? I was promised a one-on-one match. That didn't happen. You have Triple H as well, and I'm assuming he's still going to go through and be feuding with the McMahons in some form. Who else was it supposed to be? I think they should build towards Cesaro and keep them away from each other because that's something everyone's going to be able to get into, and I think everyone will like to go on the ride for that, you know, feud and that build when it happens. When you take that away, who was it going to be? Swagger, Sandow, those guys. So I think...
Actually, hold on. Caller, who do you think it's going to be?
Isn't it going to be Brock Lesnar by Paul Heyman's promo? Like, he's going to come back because he's beat The Undertaker now? And
but
that's the only
get
last
to
thing
SummerSlam.
He has left to conquer?
Go ahead, Mike.
I think you have to get to SummerSlam for that, at the very least. I don't think it's going to be something where he pops up at the June pay-per-view or whatever it's called, Great American Bash. I have no idea what it is. But whatever it is, it's not going to be for a while, I wouldn't think, till you built to that. So I just, again, I think it's too soon to judge this whole thing. I'm not saying that we can't. I'm not saying that you don't get an uneasy feeling because of the way Benoit and Mysterio and lots of other guys were treated in their title reign. You know, Sheamus was one of them who, you know, didn't benefit from what they did, having him run away from like a coward from the Nexus and all that other stuff. So I just think it's too early to judge this thing quite yet. I understand if people have agita and bad feelings, but I think it's just too early to judge it.
Well, I hope you're right, because they already put Brie with him, and I don't like that. It makes him look like a wimp, having that makes him vulnerable, excuse me. You know, you want your baby face to be strong, and I think that messes up. Thank you.
All right, thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. If you want to give us a call, 855-478-4478. We are toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 855-478-4478. You are welcome to call us on the Skype line as well. F4W Online is the Skype line. You can get a hold of me there. All of these numbers up at WrestlingObserver.com as well. And Mike, this person here says, what about Tyson Kidd being the fourth member of Evolution, if there is one?
I don't think with the way he's been portrayed
on Total Divas
that he would be a great comedic foil in some ways, and the fact that he could go with everybody. But then how are you going to include Natty in that mix and everything else? There are a lot of guys that you might be able to bring up. I don't think Tyson Kidd is one of them. Although, you know, Tyson Kidd as NXT killer or whatever he's going to be, I think that's pretty cool for now.
Apparently there was a huge CM Punk chant in the building. We'll see if that continues throughout the evening. They are getting ready here on the pre-show. We've got our panel. It is Alex Riley and Sheamus, of all people, along with Josh Matthews and Booker T, getting ready for this WLC match about to begin. We're going to be covering that here on the program.
I wonder if that knocks out my idea that Sheamus and Titus O'Neil actually have a match on this pay-per-view.
It doesn't look like it right now. Hmm. Who's winning R-Truth and Xavier Woods against Alexander Rusev?
The fans, because we all like Lana and her thighs and every other part of her body.
Oh, my God. They're getting ready for the match right now. Torito is warming up backstage by running through a cape repeatedly. And meanwhile, I'd like to note Vicky Guerrero stole my name, 3.5 MB on SmackDown. They are backstage right now. Hornswoggle is getting ready to go. This battle, everybody, is about to begin. Hornswoggle versus Torito in a WLC match. We're going to be talking about it here on Wrestling Observer Live. Very quickly, Rob Van Dam, Jack Swagger, and Cesaro, Mike, who's going to win?
Cesaro, of course.
All right, hold that thought back in just a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Streaming live worldwide on the internet right now is also the WWE Extreme Rules pay-per-view, and El Torito is currently making his way to the ring for the WLC match. We have got mini announcers, a mini announce table, a mini ring announcer, a mini referee. Everything is miniaturized for this match here. I have absolutely no idea why this wasn't the semi-main event of the pay-per-view. This is by far the biggest match of the evening, in my personal opinion. And we are going to call it live here on the air. If you'd like to join us, 855-478-4478 is the phone number. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Donald from San Diego.
Donald, what's up?
Yeah, I was just wondering. I'm not really into the WWE currently, just because the storylines have gotten so bad.
How could you not be? There's a WLC match on right now.
You know what? That is the only highlight of this pay-per-view.
It's incredible so far. But go on.
Well, you know, I'm not watching it. I just can't give Vince McMahon, you know, my money every month just to see the same thing over and over again. But
you
my,
will not
my
do that with $9.99, though. You're not a network fan?
Not a network fan, not a USA fan. I just can't get into the WWE product.
Wow. You know that on the network, there's a lot of classic stuff. I think they just put up all of the old Clash of the Champions, in fact.
You know, if they would bring out, you know, I know they just bought the Mid-Atlantic Library.
Yeah.
When they start showing that on a regular basis, then I might have to buy in.
All right. Well, that may be coming. I'm telling you, you're missing out here with this WLC batch so far.
Well, what's your poison right now as far as pro wrestling goes? Or if you're a guy that's turned to MMA and can get his fix that way?
You know what? I am actually hoping somebody comes back around. You know, I know, you know, this new company has bought NWA, and I know that TNA is looking for a buyer. My question to you is this: what do you think it's going to take for there to be a viable competitor to WWE?
A miracle. I mean, there's no easy answer. I mean, Jeff Jarrett's got his plan. I mean, you know, TNA was a close thing we had to a number two, and it's just become very clear. I mean, a lot of the part of it is, you know, a big part of the TNA problem is they just can't book anything to save their lives. They can't get people to pay for what they're providing. I mean, there are a lot of issues with TNA, but one of the big issues is WWE is far and away number one, and there are the vast majority of fans in this company. They get enough from WWE, and they aren't going to support a number two. And so I don't think that the day is coming where we're ever going to have a viable number two again. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just think that the world has changed.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. The best you can do is eventually they put enough stuff on this network that you can amuse yourself with stuff that is not current-day WWE.
Well, you know, and then again, when you do that, you're still encouraging WWE.
Essentially, you are, yeah.
There's a mini chair in the match.
Thank you so much for the call. Mike is, yes, there is a mini chair in the match. It is a WLC match right here. Everybody is at ringside going crazy. You know, I would presume that, yeah.
Torito with a handstand into a Bronco Buster on Hornswoggle in the corner. 3MB is outraged.
Oh, my goodness. This match. I'm watching Hornswoggle grab him by the tail. There's comedy involving Jinder Mahal right now.
The little referee got knocked over.
There's a little child in the front row leaping up and down. We seem to be watching this at different times, Mike. I don't know who's current and who's not, but one of us is. One of us seems to be off a little bit. Are you watching them grab a mini ladder from underneath the ring?
No, I've got Torito headbutting Jinder out of the ring with the horn.
Oh, yeah, you're behind. So fast forward a little bit right there.
Oh, no.
All right, everybody, we're taking your phone calls in the middle of WLC. 855-478-4478 is the phone number. That is 855-478-4478. I'm very sad that they did not bust out a gigantic ladder.
There's a 4-foot ladder, what is that? A 4-step ladder.
That ladder may be, in fact, I know that ladder is shorter than I am.
Stiff shot by Swoggle.
Yeah. What are they, I just realized this right now. This is a WLC match. What are they fighting for?
I don't know, but Hornswoggle's got a tattoo on his chest that says, "Don't bring me down." If he did, it wouldn't be far.
Look at this crowd going nuts for Hornswoggle to leap off the ladder. And he missed.
He scurred.
He fell down. Oh, boy, everybody. It is the WLC match. By the way, after the show goes off the air, immediately after the show goes off the air, myself and Vinny and Craig will be doing a live WWE TLC post show, which is available only at WrestlingObserver.com. We have a listen live link up there on the front page. You can check it out. And, of course, as a subscriber, you get full access to everything, not only all of the live shows. I got 3 shows today, by the way, live, but the replay goes on the air immediately after this program goes off the air. We have replays of every show we've ever done dating back to 2005 in the archives. Make sure you head up there and check it out. We got so many shows. If you love wrestling, if you love pro wrestling audio, there is literally no better site in the entire world for wrestling audio, I guarantee it, than WrestlingObserver.com. 5,000 radio shows in the archive dating back to 2005. We put approximately 15 brand new shows in the archives every single week. So if you only hear Wrestling Observer Live once a week, think of how much you're missing out on by not being a subscriber. It's only $10.99 a month. If you sign up for a year or more, it's as low as $9.99. A great compliment, as you can see right now, to the WWE Network. We cover a lot of the shows. It's a lot of fun, so head up to WrestlingObserver.com and check that out. What are the people saying on Twitter here. Will says, WLC is the greatest thing ever. I'm not going to read what this person said, but suffice to say, he's very excited for this match. And you as well can check it out on the WWE Network. I believe we've gone over all the matches. Before the break, we briefly talked about Cesaro winning the triple threat match. Mike, that was your prediction, correct?
Yes, it was.
Oh, my God. We are back now, and in Jinder Mahal and his diabolical crew are all stomping a mud hole in the babyfaces outside.
There's a big ladder laying outside the ring, too.
There is a giant ladder out here. I don't know why there are ladders, because I don't think anything is hung above the ring. If I'm wrong, perhaps somebody here can let me know about it. But it appears all of the big people are taking bumps through chairs and tables and ladders and such. It's a very violent match. I presume it's just pinfall or submission is how you determine a winner right here.
Torito just jumped off. They showed a replay of him jumping off one side of the guardrail, and then he ended up on his momentum rolling in like a bowling ball into the other part of it.
Yes. The announcers, by the way, are dressed up as the regular size announcers. We've got a mini JBL, we have got a mini Jerry Lawler, and we've got what is supposed to be a mini Michael Cole, but he actually looks like a mini Paul Bearer. So apparently they
a mini Cole JR mix.
Yeah, exactly. So I just saw a rolling
JBL Weeble.
I saw a rolling thunder from Hornswoggle. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Well, what's going on, Jim?
I just got a question for you. What did you think of the opening of last week's Raw with Bray Wyatt and John Cena?
You mean the singing children that from Bray Wyatt's magical compound?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was horribly contrived. Mike, what do you think?
I think Hornswoggle is pulling the monitors out of the little people's table, and we're about to get action on that. And until that we do, I'll just say that I had a split reaction of this is WWE and this is sports entertainment and this is what they do. But the old wrestling fan in me would have liked an explanation or just some sort of background or video clip or I don't know, like last week, if you knew you were going to do this, have Bray, an old clip of him preaching to a choir or something. I don't know what it is, but part of me was kind of just like, I wish they would explain this and I wish they would put some thought behind it as far as explaining it better of how he got all those people. But the other side of me was just like, well, in a way it's a cool visual and this is what WWE does. So is it really the worst thing in the world? And again, the people aren't paying for this pay-per-view. They're watching it for $9.99 because that's what it is, part of their subscription. And we could be seeing just more things like this.
He's talking about the WWE Network. I heard the man mention the Mid-Atlantic shows. Now, I was always, when I had the channel on cable, would always bug me they never had them in sequence. Do you think they will have them in sequence on the network?
Well, I know from watching like some of the world-class shows and I believe ECW as well. I mean, they've got a library, but some of the shows are missing. It is not always sequential, so I don't know why that is. I don't know if maybe they're missing shows. I don't know why they've chosen to upload them the way they have. So I can't answer your question whether they will be sequential or not. I do remember watching that on Classics on Demand and kind of wondering why, okay, well, I watched this show and then the next show on it is a month later. Where are the shows in between? So I don't have an answer for you.
I guarantee that'll probably be the case, that they are run out of order for a variety of reasons. But I think a more troubling thing that just took place was Hornswoggle with a mini chair actually hitting Torito square in the head with it before somehow Heath Slater was sent through two tables outside the ring.
Are you watching this? Are you watching this match here, Jim?
No, I'm not. I don't have the network yet.
Why? Why don't you have the network?
Well, like you said, y'all telling me about women's wrestling, they don't have, all they have is Total Divas. What else do they have?
They don't have Total Divas on the network, but they have NXT.
You're gonna miss Paige.
You're missing Paige? Oh my God. They just did a crazy spot outside. They fell through about five ladders and chairs. More violent than anything I've seen in any TLC match in the last decade.
Oh my God.
And I hope that everybody is alive.
Rito.
Sorry to be distracted, Jim.
That's all right, but, you know, I was going to tell Mike, you know that the cheerleader Melissa or Alyssa Flash holds the RCW International Men's title, don't you?
You know that, don't you, Mike?
I did not know that.
Oh, Mike, get with the program.
But I'm satisfied in hearing that.
I want to thank you very much for the call, Jim. We got to get back to this battle here. I cannot even believe what I've just seen.
There's plunder and little people and colorfully dressed people strewn all about. Torito just went right into a chair off that move.
Literally, this match is more violent than any of the full-size TLC matches that I've seen in probably the last, 7-8 years?
What about the children? Maybe they are going into a darker age.
And Drew McIntyre just did a flip dive over the top rope, through a table, smashed his tailbone on the ground. That looked...
Imagine that's happened in fights with Taryn before.
Okay, there are bodies everywhere at this moment. The only two that are still up here are El Torito and Hornswoggle. Torito is accidentally just bonked the poor little guy in the face with a chair, supposedly accidentally. And it looks like we're going to be going to the... finish here after a while, so hopefully we can get that while we're still on the air. The Bull just did a springboard senton off the top rope, putting Hornswoggle through a table for the pin. So El Torito is your winner, everybody. An excellent battle. It will be tough for anything to top this match. The Matadors are celebrating. They're so excited. This match was amazing. Thank you for following along, everybody.
People.
Excuse me?
It's been a big time for little people.
Hey, WLC is fantastic, Suburban Hood says. 5 stars!
Olay!
Wow. I don't know if I'd give it 5 stars, but honest to God, I don't know if we're going to see a better match here on this program here tonight.
Avery is so happy.
All right, we got to head to a break, everybody. When we come back, we shall wrap this up as we head into the WWE Extreme Rules pay-per-view. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Still recovering from my play-by-play of the epic WLC match with El Torito and Hornswoggle. I apologize to the various callers who were rudely cut off as Mike and I marked out for various spots in that particular match. Extreme Rules is about to start, everybody, and it should be a fun time. And on Twitter here, Sammy has noted that the crowd went absolutely crazy for this match live. I don't blame them. And Filthy Tom Lawler of UFC fame has noted that the quote of the night is likely to be by, yes, Micro Cole, who said vintage Hornswoggle during the match. So we'll see if that can be topped on the program tonight. Mike, can anything top this match? Seriously.
No. No, actually, there can't. Although, again, I hope there's some sort of crackdown on little person head trauma as they both exchange chair shots. And I don't know what those mini chairs are made of, but this ain't ballet, and those guys' necks aren't made for that.
Hopefully they're made of, like, aluminum or I don't know what a soft metal would be, but...
Tinfoil?
I was more concerned about that big crossbody that sent 9 men through ladders and chairs on the outside. That was insane. But
is that ladder and Torito? Ouch. Although he didn't sell it afterwards. So these guys need to work on their psychology.
We're out of time, everybody. As soon as the live show ends, head over to WrestlingObserver.com. We'll have an Extreme Rules live post show only at WrestlingObserver.com. Other than that, back next week for more. Thanks so much, everybody. Thanks, everybody at Sports Byline. We'll talk to you again next week. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.